What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Let's give up some more love for Sister Alford. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Let us reverence our hearts to God. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the privilege and the pleasure of being in this holy tabernacle. We thank you for your love, unconditional, expended to each and every one of us. We honor, dear Lord, that you are right in the midst of us, sharing your love among mankind. And now, Lord, speak to our hearts, speak through our hearts, feed us that bread from on high. And Lord, feed us and fill us. Hold us, dear God, and make us holy, acceptable, and pleasing to you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Christ Jesus' name. And we all said amen.
Amen.
It is a delicious and delectable privilege and pleasure of mine to be with the Palm Coast United Methodist Church. You rock. I am so blessed to greet you in the name of the matchless and immaculate King, Christ Jesus, and to greet you from the Mount Tabor First Baptist Church of Palatka and Crescent City. It is amazing to me that you have such a pastor, Kevin M. James Sr., a man often imitated, never duplicated, and the children got it right. I got temporarily confused at first when they started saying how silly he was. I'm like, are they talking about me before I get up? What a man. Pastor James and Mrs. James, we're honored to be in worship together. Pastor Teresa, thank you so much for the hospitality and the love that has been exchanged over the years between our families and yours. To my wife of 30 years, Mrs. Flagg, we honor you. To those who are called according to the purpose of God, we celebrate our pastors. We celebrate the leadership. We celebrate the visionary leaders that God has placed upon us at a time such as this. We're going through some crucial times, some very evil times. We're going through times where man has made a decision, amen, to think that he's in charge. I wish you would whisper to your neighbor, God is in charge. Yeah, I want you to whisper that so they can hear you. God is in charge. So many times we do our thing and we do it our way. And we fail to understand that we are all limited and we're finite in our thought processes. For the God we serve is infinite and he has all power and authority in both heaven and on earth. I am so excited. I was excited when I walked. When I drove up on this campus and greeted by the greeters and met by a cousin and escorted to the office, it has certainly been a phenomenal experience. And I tell you what, I believe in protocol, I believe in order, but when Sister London got to that piano and when she started tickling that ivory, and you know, you can tell how great and how anointed and appointed a musician is when you automatically start singing what they're playing, and even when it's unannounced. And when she hit, "We have come this far by faith," that ought to be the testimony of every believer. That ought to be the testimony of every disciple of Jesus Christ. We've gone through what we've gone through to get to where we are, but we've come this far by faith. Can I get a witness over here? We've come this far by faith and we're leaning on the Lord. Not on our own understanding, but we're leaning on the Lord. Thank you to those delightful ladies who read the scripture when the step stool was being placed there. I say, is that put out for me? I didn't know whether or not I needed to step up so I could really make some things happen, but it brought back memories when I first accepted the call to preach the gospel. I had to use one of those, so it really brought me back a long ways. But thank you so much for your leadership, Pastor. Thank you for persevering and allowing God to order your steps, because the Holy Spirit is the original GPS. I was following my navigation system one time, and it's amazing to me how we put so much confidence in technology and in the modern issues that we deal with. And I thought I had everything all programmed right and had the address plugged in, Pastor Teresa, and all of a sudden I was on the bridge, and I was going across the bridge, and I knew I was on the bridge, but the GPS said, turn left here. It's one of those times that you've got to override and do what you know is better and best. And that's what pastors have to do all the time. We're grateful for our trustees and our stewards, and grateful for those who are leaders in the church. But God has appointed and anointed his leader to have the vision. You can't see from your neck. You must see through the eyes, and it must be the eyes of Almighty God. In Proverbs 29 and 18, as was read, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You and I need to understand that when we speak about where there is no vision, we are speaking intensively and intrinsically on no redemptive revelation of God. There are too many people who like commotion in the church and emotion, and they want a feeling when they come to the house of worship. But my brothers and sisters, I serve notice on us this morning. We need a filling rather than a feeling, because feelings come and go. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up, we will be lifted up. You and I need to understand that when there's no vision, the people get out of control. And there's so many things that's happening in the world that's tugging for our attention one way or the other. But you and I need to understand the significance and the importance of having guidance from God, which means we must be a praying church. I was so honored when the pastor mentioned that before we worship, even on Saturdays, that there are some prayer warriors that are here. That comes when the lights are dim, and when the congregation and is other places, and when the sanctuary is empty, they come in and they walk up and down the aisles, and they anoint the pews, and they pray for those of us who will occupy the pews, so that when we come together, we don't come together to worry. We don't come together to work. We come together to worship God. And every now and then there ought to be a spontaneous praise on the inside of our hearts, on the inside of our souls, where there is no one that's standing before us and admonishing us and encouraging us to give God some praise. It ought to be somebody in the house that has a spontaneous, a premeditated praise, where we give God glory. And every now and then, you ought to testify to someone and tell them, you don't know my story. You don't know all that I've gone through to get to where I am right now. And I don't look like what I've been through. I've gone through this, that, and the other. But I trust God. And that's what believers must do. Believers must acknowledge God in all of our ways, so that we know he's directing our path. And the church said amen. Amen. You and I need to know that if it's ever been a time that we needed the voice of God to speak through the pastoral servant, the time is now. The pastor must be of good courage, and the pastor must wait on the Lord in the process, because oft times we are pushed and we are pressed to make decisions. But until God speaks, the leader must maintain their cool and stay tuned to this station and pause for station identification. You must understand the significance of us allowing God to be in charge. The visionary servant leader of the Lord's church. Pastor, you must continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You must continue to keep your eyes on the prize, because in the end, we're going to win. Leaders must always think positive and aim for the stars and plan for the future and exhaust all possibilities, envision the challenges and pursue the solutions and communicate the potentials, and always cast your cares upon the Lord. There are many who continue to try to put the facade on the outside, but we need the presence of God's Holy Spirit occupying the inside of our hearts, so that we can pray without ceasing, that we can rejoice in the midst of our tests, we can run full throttle, and we can look to the hill from whence cometh our help. And we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that our help comes from the Lord, the visionary servant leader. Pastor James, you must understand that leaders draw their inspiration from imminent projections, not past achievements. Pastors must listen, learn, and lead. The church must hear, must heed, and must hearken, because the word of God is already settled in heaven. But leaders must lead. A nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. And our nation and world is rocking and reeling like an intoxicated man. But until the church rise up and stand up and pray up and look up and trust in God with our whole heart, we will fail and we will lead the failure. Visionary servant leader is convicted about his call. A pastor must always keep in mind the source of the appointment, the pressures of the appointment, the pleasures of the appointment, and the permanence of the appointment. It is God who has appointed you. It is God who has anointed you. And in the midst of it all, and in spite of it all, and even through it all, you must continue to press forward. It's not always easy. The times that you feel like everything that could go wrong has already gone wrong. But in the midst of it all, and in spite of it all, if we trust in God, and that's going to be the key to it all for a visionary leader. We cannot put our confidence in man. We cannot put our confidence in our stewardship programs. We must put our confidence in God. I have a question for you this morning. Is there anything too hard for God? Palm Coast United Methodist Church, you have decisions to make. It's not about who sits where you sit, whether you're on a raised platform, whether you're in the pew, whether you're in the balcony. It's about where you are in your prayer life. It's about where you are in your commitment and your consecrated lifestyle to Almighty God. If we acknowledge Him, He'll show us what to do. He'll tell us what to do. He will lead us and He will guide us. If the pastor's axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage. Keep on studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not about good preaching as it relates to the oratorical skills of the messenger, but this is about inspiration and perspiration. The word is rich, and the good news of Christ is great. And don't ever forget to remember that the Holy Spirit is most powerful, all powerful, to lead us and to guide us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Pastor, stand on the promise. Stand on the premise. Do God's will by any means necessary. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. But look to the hill from whence cometh your help. All of your help comes from the Lord. This wonderful work begins in law and ends in grace. It started in Eden and ends in New Jerusalem. The Bible deserves no attack but requires no defense. And it remains the only book that can bring the light of God, His wisdom, to this scene. Palm Coast United Methodist Church. What a servant leader we have. What an anointed leader we have. Follow Him as He followed Christ. Do God's will by any means necessary. Be not dismayed. Whatever's going on in your life, trust God. Even when you can't trace Him, lean on His everlasting arms, for He's more than enough. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. God bless you. May God keep you, and may He shine upon you this day and in the days to come. Amen.